This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Satterberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, tracking everything in progress right now, including the late Major League Baseball game between the Nationals and the Angels, scoreless in the top of the second inning, and the main card of UFC 317 is about to get underway. In case you're keeping score at home, favorites, a perfect 6-0 in the prelims here, UFC 317 T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line as we get back into some NBA in the wake of the draft this week and the moves that have been made so far here in the offseason, Alex Barutha, senior NBA editor over at RotoWire, joins me, Scott Satterberg, here on Live Bet Saturday. Alex, thanks so much for a couple of minutes here. And in the wake of the draft, in which Dylan Harper goes second overall to the San Antonio Spurs, Harper, in his introductory press conference here on Saturday, said that the Spurs are a playoff team this next season. Are you buying into Dylan Harper's hype of this San Antonio Spurs team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Victor Wembanyama is your best player, you always have a chance to be in the playoffs. And I know they didn't finish particularly well last year, but at the same time, I mean, Wembanyama got better last year. I assume he'll get better this year. The trade for De'Aaron Fox, we didn't see a lot of Fox and Wembanyama together. Another year of Vassell's development, another year of Castle's development. I mean, they're just not only do they have, they built this young core, they have De'Aaron Fox, you know, leading things as a veteran point guard. And it's a little bit of a logjam. Their roster isn't like perfect in terms of fit, right? They have too many guards, maybe not enough shooting. But you look at the Western Conference, obviously it's going to be a bloodbath, but if you look down the list, would it surprise me if they were better than the Grizzlies? No, not really. Would it surprise me if they, at the end of the day, ended up with a better record than the Mavericks? It actually would not surprise me. So yeah, I mean, they certainly they have the feel of a potential playoff team.
You know, Ace Bailey, who the other Rutgers star, gets drafted fifth overall by Utah, and that was certainly a surprise because he had one of the more bizarre pre-draft situations that we've ever seen. There was a time when Ace Bailey was heavily regarded as the 1A behind, behind Cooper Flagg in this draft. It was Cooper Flagg going number one overall. Was Ace Bailey going second overall? Obviously, Harper then outplays him, and then Bailey's going to go third. We know about the lack of the interviews and the workouts. He's going to drop out of the top five. He winds up being selected fifth by Utah. If Ace Bailey buys in to the Utah Jazz, and we know the Jazz are certainly behind him, do we think Bailey's capable of putting up a season that gets him into Rookie of the Year contention? He's plus 950 now for the odds to win Rookie of the Year behind Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper.
That's tough because usually Rookie of the Year does come from a team that is competitive. And I don't know if Utah will be competitive. Honestly, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing with Markkanen. They got to trade Sexton, John Collins. Like, they got a bunch of guys. I don't really know what's going on with their roster. And it's just hard to project what Ace Bailey's role will be as a rookie. Are they going to throw him out there for 35 minutes a game and say, hey, man, you're our number two, number three option. Like, go out there and get buckets. He's not their number one option. Markkanen's still there. Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, those guys take shots. Keontae George is going to want his touches. So it's just really difficult for me to predict Ace Bailey's role. He has, I think, kind of a low floor as a rookie in terms of how much he's going to play, how much he's going to touch the ball. And I would not be surprised if Utah has a little bit of a long runway and maybe they'll be really bad at the end of the year and that's where he gets all of his minutes. But I don't think that's what will vault him potentially above like Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper.
A move that was made today, Lonzo Ball traded from the Bulls to the Cavaliers for Isaac Okoro as the Cavs prepare for life after Ty Jerome, as he is going to leave in free agency. What did you make of this move, and how do you think it impacts Cleveland this year?
I really liked it. I mean, the Cavaliers were not going to use Okoro that much. He had fallen out of favor in the rotation, and I think he's a solid player. It's just he isn't a great shooter. Teams don't respect his shot. He's not a playmaker. He's like a 6'4" hyper-athletic defender. Very kind of niche player. And they built up the wing rotation around him. to the point where they don't necessarily need him. And like you mentioned, if Ty Jerome is going to go get paid elsewhere, it is nice to have a veteran backup point guard like Lonzo. And of course, he's a little bit of an injury risk. But when he was healthy last year, he played really well. I thought he helped the Bulls a lot when he was on the court. And, you know, you don't necessarily need a really strong backup point guard because Garland's going to be out there for 35 minutes. Then Donovan Mitchell can also play some point guard as well. And Evan Mobley's been handling the ball more. So I think it's a trade that makes sense for both teams because it wasn't like Lonzo's market was going to be out of control. You know, that could be much better than Isaac Okoro.
We've had several trades, Alex, that have been made here in this offseason. Obviously, the Kevin Durant one is the one that shook up the markets the most, as the Houston Rockets are now the second favorite behind the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the NBA title. At Durant's age, do we still expect him to be the contributor that he is projected to be? And are the Rockets the worthy second favorite in the betting markets right now to win the title next season?
I'm not too surprised that they're second in the betting market. You know, I think the thing you have to worry about if you're betting this market is, first of all, just getting through the West in general.
Yeah.
But also the Cavaliers are projected to be, along with the Knicks, I suppose, in the Eastern Conference, like the teams to beat, especially Cleveland, in my opinion. I think they'll come back with a vengeance and be really good. Regardless, about Durant, yeah, I think we sort of saw how teams felt about him and his potential by what Phoenix got in return, which was solid, but not, you know, given Durant's pedigree, was not an amazing haul or anything like that. The good news, I think, if you're Houston, is you didn't bring in Kevin Durant to be like purely your number one offensive option. They're still getting good stuff out of Fred VanVleet and Alperen Şengün. And I think Durant and Şengün and VanVleet, like, that's a pretty good combination. You don't have to give Durant the ball every possession. He can be on the wing sometimes. But the reality is, what stopped Houston from getting farther in the playoffs was that they did not have reliable scoring. Jalen Green, who could score 20 points a game in the regular season, was irrelevant in the playoffs against the Warriors. Just completely shut down. And they just needed that experience. They needed that 20 to 25 points per game. And that's what Durant gives them. And so the question is, like, if you throw that guy in there with the defensive, you know, team that they have around him, Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Şengün, like I mentioned, I think they're a legitimate threat in the Western Conference.
Alex Barutha, senior NBA editor for RotoWire, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. It has already been a busy NBA offseason. It is projected to be one of the busiest, and we can talk potentially about where we think Giannis might end up, as the more that I'm hearing, Alex, is that he might stay in Milwaukee. If that's the case and Giannis doesn't go anywhere and he stays with the Bucks, what do you see from the Bucks here in this upcoming season?
That's the buzz I think we've all heard, is that he's interested in staying. I would imagine that this is sort of a gap year for Milwaukee. Their role players were not that great last season. I'm a Bucks fan. I have a lot of Bucks fans in my life, you know, here in Wisconsin. The role players, everyone's kind of had it with pretty much everybody on the roster. I'll tell you that much. I would not be surprised if Brook Lopez was on the move. It's just not a lot on the surrounding roster in Milwaukee. And I think Giannis, given the state of the Eastern Conference, I mean, he might be good enough to drag a team to 40, 45 wins, get in the playoffs, eighth seed, something like that. Like, that would not shock me if they ended up in the playoffs. But I think if you're Milwaukee, you probably want to use this as an opportunity to bring in like an entirely fresh crop of role players in free agency, if you can, and just experiment a little bit, like with guys on, you know, who are let go by other teams, young players who maybe they haven't found the right spot. Maybe try Giannis at the five, maybe try some big lineups, just try something new, because this is your year to figure out like what works, what doesn't. When Lillard comes back next year, I don't even think they're really going to be a contender. I don't necessarily think he's going to be, given his age and the Achilles injury. So, Bucks would probably be, at best, I would imagine they're like a six seed come playoff time.
If there's a long shot bet to be made, regardless of conference, which team are you going to take a flyer on for next year?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, I'm looking at the odds right now. I think people are maybe sleeping on Denver a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I still think they're a really good team. Like, we'll get shocked. They're 15-1, at least where I'm looking. I'm not sure what it says on. Yeah, 15-1. They still have Jokic. I think the roster is really good. Christian Brown will be better. You know, Aaron Gordon was dealing with an injury during the playoffs. You kind of hope that he's played a little better. Maybe they find some stuff in free agency. They're going to have a brand new coach. Just given where they've been, the pedigree, who Jokic is, 15-1 to me, I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, certainly a team with championship pedigree for sure there in Denver. Alex, appreciate the time and the insight. Good stuff, and enjoy what should continue to be a very busy NBA offseason.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Take it easy. There's Alex Barutha, senior NBA editor over at RotoWire, joined us here on Live Bet Saturday. It's crazy because, like, the NBA offseason, it's like it's already gotten started, but we haven't even gotten to the Summer League yet. And once we get to the Summer League, like, especially here in Vegas, like, that's when we're going to see maybe some more moves get made, right? Whether it's free agency or just other trades, because this is like the NBA Summer League is like the convention of the NBA. It's where the whole league is going to be here in Vegas. GMs are going to be chatting with each other, and more moves are going to be made. This has already been a fast start to what is expected to be one of the busiest NBA off seasons that we've had in quite some time. I'm Scott Satterberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll update you on the baseball scores coming up next right here on Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Satterberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got one baseball game in progress as we update you on our live betting scenario that we could have, and also our best bets that we talked about here prior to this game. Right now, the Angels with a 1-0 lead over the Nationals in going to the bottom of the third there in Anaheim. Michael Soroka only one strikeout so far. So we did like the over 5.5 strikeouts for Michael Soroka. Also did like the over 2.5 earned runs allowed for Michael Soroka. He has already allowed one run on a Logan O'Hop grounder into a double play, which scored the lone run here of the game, as the Angels have a 1-0 lead over the Nationals going to the bottom of the third inning. And we might have a live betting opportunity here, as we did like the over 9 in this game. And take a look at what we have now, a live total of 6.5. I got to be honest with you, I like this. I think we're still going to get runs in this game. It's only been like, what, one time through the lineup, if that? We're getting a discount now to 6.5 on this total. We already got one run in. We need 6 runs for the rest of this game, and we're in the bottom of the third inning. I like a live bet right now on the over 6.5 in the Nationals and the Angels game. It is minus 141 to the over up on DraftKings. I would place that bet over 6.5 on a live bet here between the Nationals and the Angels. This is a game, again, coming in, I like the over 9 to begin with. And right now we're getting a little bit of a reduction here. It's just one time through the lineup. It's just 1-0. And if not for that double play, maybe more runs would have been scored here for the Angels in the bottom of that second inning. I think that they could certainly score more runs here as we progress throughout, especially, as I mentioned, I liked Soroka to go over 2.5 earned runs. I liked Kyle Hendricks to go over 2.5 earned runs. And Soroka's a guy that, even though he's got some high strikeout numbers in his last several starts, he has allowed 3 or more runs in 3 of his last 4 starts, 4, 5, 6 of his last 7 starts, 8 of his last 10 starts, 11 of his, in every start but 2 this year, this dude's given up 3 runs. So, yeah, I do like runs to be scored. Let's go over 6.5 on a live betting line here between the Angels and the Nationals. We have every other game is a final from today. We had the 12-3 win for the Cubs over the Astros, and I'm curious now, I talked about this earlier, because of the blowout nature of this game, how will the market react to tomorrow's game between these teams? Because I like the Astros. And I'm hoping that I get a better price on Houston now because the market might be sour on Houston or might just be pro Cubbies and money might come in on the Cubs. I think recency bias is very strong in baseball. And a lot of the times I want to fade that recency bias. And so, yeah, we see these blowouts all the time. More blowouts this year than we've ever seen in baseball to this point. Prior to the month of July, we have had more double-digit wins this year in baseball than we've had in any season going back to as far as 2004. And what did we see after these blowouts? Let's just look at the past couple of days, right? We had, let's see. We'll start with the Red Sox series. How about that? Okay. We had on Friday the Blue Jays with a 9-0 win over the Red Sox. Oh, naturally, the Blue Jays are the play. Red Sox can't hit. They just got shut out 9-0. How about a Red Sox 15-1 rout over the Blue Jays today? Oh, naturally, Red Sox are hot. Bats are hot. We're going to bet them tomorrow, right? Not so fast. Eric Lauer and the Blue Jays, a -120 favorite over Walker Buehler and the Red Sox here on Sunday. How about the blowout that we saw with the Orioles, right? Baltimore, 22-8 blowout over the Tampa Bay Rays on Friday. Naturally, Orioles are the way to go on Saturday, right? Wrong. Rays win 11-3. And now I'm curious. 12-3 Cubs beat the Astros. How's the market going to react coming up tomorrow? Because I like the Astros with Framber Valdez at home. What is momentum? It's an illusion. It's an illusion, my friends. Right? The old saying, we've talked about it several times throughout the show. Momentum's only as good as your next day's starting pitcher, is the saying. And next day's starting pitcher is better for the Houston Astros than it is for the Chicago Cubs. Especially at home. Framber Valdez has the edge here over Jameson Taillon. I don't care about the blowout victory. And the other aspect of these blowouts that I don't think people acknowledge enough is that when you do have these blowout games, the teams that are getting blown out are not using their top arms out of the bullpen. And so that means that in the subsequent game, those top arms are available. And so we got a situation where I have the pitching edge in the starting pitcher for the Astros in this game, and I got the bullpen edge. So yes, I get it. You can look at the blowouts and you can say, hey, the team's swinging a hot bat, or, you know, it's all relevant. Look at the next game. Look at the advantages that team has. You got the starting pitching edge. You got a bullpen edge. That's what matters. Phillies win 13-0 against the Braves yesterday. Braves come out here, beat the Phillies 6-1. And what was important about the Braves tonight, if the Braves, even if they don't get that Sean Murphy grand slam, Braves had a 2-1 lead with Rossell Iglesias coming into the game because he didn't pitch the game before in the blowout loss. When these teams don't use their high leverage guys because of, you know, the blowout wins or the blowout losses, then you have situations where those guys are available in the next day. So sure, you can back the teams that are coming off these big wins. Momentum. Irrelevant. Let's take a look at the rest of the schedule here for Sunday in Major League Baseball. You got the early Roku game, the early start here on your Sunday morning, 9:05 Pacific time. So that is a noon Eastern time first pitch, or noon, 12:05. Guardians are hosting the Cardinals. St. Louis a short favorite with Matthew Liberatore on the mound. Logan Allen getting the start here. I'm curious. I'm just going to look some things up here with these Roku Sunday morning starts. I want to see this year how those totals have been. On Sundays, when you start the game before, let's say before 1 o'clock, right? So actually before 12:30, I'll say. This year, those games are, all right, 3-2-1 to the under. So we had last week, we had the Rays and the Tigers. That was an over game. Oh, no, last week that wasn't Rays-Tigers. Last week was Yankees-Orioles. That was the Roku game, right? And that game went under. So last week, Yankees-Rays was the Roku game. What was the Roku game the Sunday before that? So Sunday the 22nd was Yankees and Orioles. That game went on. That game was 4-2. That went under. By the way, every Yankee game goes under. Now, what is it, 16 straight unders for the New York Yankees? Before that, it was the Reds and Tigers. That was the one that went over. Okay, makes sense. And before that, we had an under between the Rays and the Marlins. Something to keep an eye on with these early start times here. With these early games, and the early start time here is going to be, again, 12:05 Eastern time as the Cardinals take on the Guardians there in Cleveland. Mets and Pirates will do it again here on Sunday in Pittsburgh with Frankie Montas on the mound for the Mets. They are minus 160 favorites. Mike Burrows goes for the Pirates. The Mets held a team meeting after the loss against the Pirates here tonight. The Mets have now dropped, it's just two straight to the Pirates, but overall, it's, what, 11 out of 14? They had that long losing skid of 7 straight losses. Then they won. Then they lose 3 straight. They win 2. Now they lose 2 straight again. So the Mets had a team meeting. I wonder how they respond here on Sunday after the team meeting. You know, do the players respond? Pick it up a little bit. Do the pitchers respond? Montas, do you trust him coming back? So all questions to ask as we look ahead towards Sunday's Major League Baseball schedule. Hey, ProfitX is offering the best odds on baseball all season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., so that means you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%, and you can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN, earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll take a look at the main card here of UFC 317, which will get underway. Actually, it's about to get underway here with the first fight. So we'll keep an eye on the main card here, UFC 317. Peyton Talbot and Felipe Lima is the first fight here on the main card. We have best bets for three fights coming up a little bit later on this main card. So we'll get to those coming up next segment in our best bets feature. But I wanted to continue to take a look at the baseball games for tomorrow's schedule, as we do have still one game in progress right now, going to the bottom of the fourth inning. The Angels with a 1-0 lead over the Nationals. DC with 4 hits with no runs to show for it. So Kyle Hendricks dancing around all the hits here for the Nationals, as he has yet to allow a run. So lots of 4 hits in 4 innings, no runs to show for it here for the Nats and the Angels. Just that one run on 1 hit so far. I did like the over in this game. I did like the live over of 6.5. That total now is at 5.5, minus 135 to the over. Elsewhere on your schedule for tomorrow, I mentioned the Mets had that team meeting, so we'll see how they respond after that team meeting, as they will be favorites against the Pirates coming up here tomorrow, and Frankie Montas is making his second start of the season. He went 5 shutout innings on the 24th, so good season debut for Montas. See if he backs that up for the Mets here in Pittsburgh coming up tomorrow. A's and Yankees, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but we will be looking for this trend of unders to continue for the New York Yankees. 16 straight unders for the New York Yankees, the longest streak since 2016 in all of baseball as far as a total is concerned. And I'll be looking for the under again. This one listed at 9.5, and you got Marcus Stroman on the mound against Luis Severino. Severino, a guy who's got much better numbers on the road despite having a rough start his last time out against Detroit, to be expected against the Detroit Tigers. But now he takes on a slumping Yankees offense in a place he is very familiar pitching. And I think Severino, with a chip on his shoulder, has a good outing here for the A's coming up tomorrow. And then Stroman also coming off the IL to get the start for the Yankees. He's a guy that needs to pitch with a chip on his shoulder as well, as he's looking for a spot in this Yankees rotation, a Yankee rotation and a Yankee pitching staff that could absolutely use Marcus Stroman if he is at the top of his game. So we'll see if both these pitchers can combine for another under. It's at 9.5 right now. I'm going to continue to ride this under wave and go with the under between the Yankees and the A's. Phillies take on the Braves with Ranger Suarez on the mound for Philly. Spencer Strider going for Atlanta. Braves are -150. And I think that this might be an opportunity to come back in on the Phillies. So the Braves get a big win here. On Saturday, Jordan Romano was terrible out of the bullpen for the Phillies. He gives up that grand slam to Sean Murphy. But take that grand slam aside, this was an even game between both these two teams. It was a 2-1 game. And who knows how it plays out if Romano doesn't come in, load the bases, and then give up that grand slam. I like Ranger Suarez a lot, and I do think that the Phillies are a good plus money play here on Sunday against the Braves. Rays and Orioles will do it again after these teams trade blowouts back and forth. Taj Bradley going for the Rays, Dean Kramer for Baltimore. The only way I could play this game is to look at the over, right? As this entire series has gone over between the Rays and the Orioles, total of 9.5 for this game. In fact, we just look at like the last time these two teams played, which was also like a week or so ago, where the Rays had that 12-8 come from behind win against the Orioles. There was a 7-1 win against Baltimore as well. Just, I think, runs are going to be scored once again between both of these two teams. Blue Jays and Red Sox, speaking of trading blowouts, a 9-0 win for the Blue Jays on Friday, the blowout 15-1 for the Red Sox here on Saturday. Eric Lauer and the Blue Jays are a small favorite in Boston against Walker Buehler and the Red Sox, and I'm buying in with the market here and going with the Blue Jays in this one, because, as we say, momentum is an illusion. Padres are at the Reds. Steven Kolek, who's actually had a nice season here for the Padres. They are short dogs in Cincinnati against Nick Lodolo and the Reds. Cubs and Astros is a game that we talked about already, with the Astros having Framber Valdez on the mound, as they are a little north of -150 favorites. I do like the Astros here backing Framber Valdez against the Cubs and Jameson Taillon. Rockies are at the Brewers. German Marquez for the Rockies. Chad Patrick for the Brewers. Milwaukee -265. Only way I look at this is just doing the Brewers on the run line, even though they're the home team, and we don't like laying the -1.5 with the home teams. I get it. You're not guaranteed the ninth inning at bat, but this Rockies team, you know, as much as they've shown some flashes, not certainly having it right now in Milwaukee. So give me the Brewers and I'll lay the -1.5. Not sure who's going to pitch for the Dodgers just yet in this game against the Royals in Kansas City. Chris Bubich goes for the Royals. Giants are at the White Sox. Justin Verlander back on the mound for the Giants, and Jonathan Cannon going for the White Sox. Giants are -160, but let's be honest here. Do we lay this price with Justin Verlander? Verlander 0-5 on the year with a 4.52 ERA. Since coming off the IL back on June 18th, he's made two starts since coming off the IL. In 9 2/3 innings, he has allowed 12 hits, 7 runs. Now, he has struck out 11 batters, which, you know, that's great. Justin Verlander is still putting up the strikeout numbers. But 7 runs on 12 hits in 9 2/3 innings? Now I got to lay -160 with Justin Verlander. I don't know if I can do it. I don't think I like it. That doesn't necessarily mean I like the White Sox in this spot here with Jonathan Cannon. It just means that it's a pass for me here on this price. The Mariners are at the Rangers. Luis Castillo goes to the Mariners. Jack Leiter for the Rangers. Seattle -130. There was an interesting stat that I saw was from about a week or so ago. where if you look at the past couple of years with starts made by Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, and one other pitcher for the Mariners, it was Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, and I'm losing it right now, but it was basically three top pitchers here for the Seattle Mariners. Three guys who, for the majority of the time, are favored in their games. Oh, George Kirby. So it was Castillo, Kirby, and Gilbert. The Mariners actually had have a losing record in their three starts over the past, like going back to the start of last season. It's like amazing. Like this offense sometimes just goes, this has been a very low scoring offense. Maybe not so much this year with Cal Raleigh having an MVP type season, but you know, laying a price here, I kind of would rather just go with the under, because as much as we talk about the Yankees unders, Rangers, best under team in Major League Baseball, especially at home this year. Nationals and Angels will finish their series. Mitch Parker goes for the Nationals. Jack Okanowitz for the Angels. Marlins are at the Diamondbacks. Cal Quantrill for Miami. Eduardo Rodriguez for Arizona. The Diamondbacks heavily favored in this one, minus 190. And the Twins are at the Tigers. This is your Sunday night baseball game, and it will feature Tarek Skubal on the mound for the Tigers, and it's going to be Chris Paddock going for the Twins. And for Tarek Skubal, what more can we say about this guy? He has a bad outing his last time out and still picks up the W. Four runs on six hits in six innings. Strikes out eight batters. A bad outing for Skubal. Still has eight strikeouts with one walk allowed. And he picks up the win 9-2 on the year with a 2.29 ERA. Tigers, to me, are the way to go here for Sunday night baseball. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st, and early access means a better shot at spotting value in the futures markets before the lines move. So now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you're going to get out of it. You're going to be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you're also going to get the daily best bet emails from the hosts and the guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We are underway on the main card here at UFC 317 as Peyton Talbot defeats Felipe Lima in a unanimous decision, becoming the first underdog to win tonight. That's right, 6-0. The favorites were in the prelims. Underdogs 1-0 here on the main card. We got best bets for the fights coming up here later on tonight. We'll get those best bets to you next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. So I mentioned the first fight is already complete here at UFC 317. Peyton Talbot with a unanimous decision over Felipe Lima. Lima closed at about a minus 180 or so favorite. Actually, probably a little bit less than that. So slight dog price on the winner here in Peyton Talbot, your first underdog win of the night. So congratulations. In the prelims, your favorites went 6-0 in the prelims. First fight here on the main card goes to the dog. The next fight up is Renato Moicano and Benil Dariush. And this is kind of an even-priced fight We're seeing up on DraftKings right now, Dariush minus 118, Moicano minus 102. No plays on this fight. Our plays start here in the next fight. Brandon Royval takes on Joshua Van. And if the name Joshua Van sounds familiar, it's because we literally just saw this guy fight. It was like a month ago. This is this something that we don't really see a lot when it comes to, you know, especially the fight game. This is a very quick turnaround. This is a very, very quick turnaround. And I get it. Van had a finish in his last fight, didn't sustain a lot of damage, but to come back and to fight without a training camp, you see, that's the thing. When you're making this big turnaround, it's not so much that, like, physically you're not ready to fight, but, like, you're not going to go through any training camp. You're just kind of just going to, you know, work out and prep for your opponent. I mean, these dudes do weigh, like, 125 pounds, so I guess you can recover a little bit easier when you weigh that little. But I just think that I lean towards Royval. That's all I'll say. I lean towards Royval just because I do think maybe the quick turnaround does get to Van at some point. And the later the fight goes, perhaps we could see that fatigue start to set in. Now, the over 2.5 rounds is minus 220. But I asked our guest earlier, Dave Ross, who you watch him mornings here on VSiN by the books. Dave is our MMA guy here at VSiN. And I asked him if the quick turnaround, if the fatigue would lend itself towards an over or an under. And the reason why I wanted to play that out is because think about it. Like, if you're gassed, you're tired, does that mean that you're going to have the more likelihood of taking the fight to the ground and maybe milking out the rounds and being in the guard most of the time, locked up against the cage, trying to catch your breath? Or if you're tired, are you not able to defend? And does that lead to a shorter finish? And Dave tends to believe that maybe the fatigue allows you not to go deeper in the fight, that maybe it is a quicker finish, that maybe Van is actually the guy that comes out trying to get that early finish and all that energy and all that adrenaline early on in the fight. And they try to end it early. So you can get plus 170 on an under 2.5 rounds right now between Joshua Van and Brandon Royval. That's something that you could take a look at. In the next fight, in Alexandre Pantoja and Kai Kara France. Kai Kara France, a plus 210 dog right now up on DraftKings, and I think that price is a little bit disrespectful. From a lot of people that I've spoken to, including our very own Dave Ross, we like the dog here, a live dog in Kai Kara France. This is a guy who 25-11 in his career, 29-5 for Pantoja. These two guys fought back in the Ultimate Fighter days, you know, months and months ago. It just feels like this is too lopsided of a money line price for a more even fight. And perhaps maybe the line inflated a bit because Pantoja is the champ. And I do think that there is I don't know if it's like likely gonna happen, but I do think that we have a live dog here in Kai Kara France. And then we get to the main event. Ilya Topuria, Charles Oliveira. Right now, this, you want to talk about a disrespectful line? Ilya Topuria minus 425? That is disrespectful. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, I love Oliveira with the plus 330 price, and I think it's worth a sprinkle. But I'm not. That's not the play I'm going to go for. The play I love in this fight, and this is my best bet for the main event tonight. Again, main event, UFC 317, coming up here, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Ilya Topuria, Charles Oliveira, best bet over 1.5 rounds. It's minus 145 for the over. Ilya Topuria going up 10 pounds to go from flyweight to lightweight here. I don't think that, you know, I don't think there's going to be a stoppage early on. I don't see Oliveira getting knocked out early on. And I really don't see Topuria getting knocked out early on. I think that if it goes to the ground, both of these guys will certainly be jockeying for position. I don't see a submission coming, maybe later on in the fight, but early on, these guys are in too good shape to get submitted early. Man, it just feels like there's a real chance, and from people that I respect that I've talked to, there's a real possibility, and I'm surprised that this price is so crazy like this. There is a chance that we could that this fight could go deep. And not only do I really like the idea of this fight going over 1.5 rounds is my best bet, but I like sprinkling on some alternate rounds. You can get over 2.5 rounds at -140. The last four fights that we saw from Topuria all went over 2.5 rounds. He's not a guy. I mean, he has in the past. He's certainly gotten quick finishes, but not recently. We haven't seen him get quick finishes recently. And I'm not going back to fights in like 2021 or 2020. I'm looking at these fighters the way they are right now. And in the last four fights, we've seen Topuria fight, again, at 10 pounds lighter, all go 2.5 rounds or more. So I think we're going to see an over 1.5. That's at -145. That is my best bet for this fight. But I don't hate sprinkling at a plus money price at over 2.5. Or how about this? To go the distance in this fight, up on DraftKings right now, is plus 450. Yes, the fight will go the distance. I don't hate that. But there's a better way to bet it. Because you can just split your bet up a little bit. Ilia Topuria by decision is plus 700. Charles Oliveira by decision is plus 1600. If it goes the distance, one of them is going to win by a decision. We're not getting a draw in this fight. So there's other ways to bet this. There's fun, creative ways. These are plus money chases here on this fight. Some interesting ways to get about some fat plus money prices on this main event. But my best bet for UFC 317, Ilia Topuria, Charles Oliveira, over 1.5 rounds, -145 right now available on DraftKings. That best bet is brought to you by the G-Bank Trifecta. It's a $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's a $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. This one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up next after us here on Live Bet Saturday, cashing out with Greg Peterson, and then kick off your Sunday with the VSIN weekend morning line at 10 a.m. Eastern time, followed by Ready, Set, Bet at 1 p.m. As we are underway on the main card here at UFC 317, a big fight card here tonight in Las Vegas, big fight week here in the city. Also, you had the boxing event, Jake Paul, who is going to get himself a victory, of course, because there's no way he loses in what is not going to be a real fight. Jake Paul -575 against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That fight about to get underway in about an hour or so from now. But Greg Peterson coming your way next with cashing out will take you through the rest of this UFC 317 card and more. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. AIR. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. I'll be back on Live Bet Sunday tomorrow night, right here on VSIN, the sports betting network.